Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and we have a treat in studio today. It's the 65th mayor of Memphis, Mayor Paul A. Young, on the X account, the Everything app at Mayor Paul Young. Young, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to be here with you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having
excited
me.
To have you. Thanks for coming on down and in studio.
I know you're a busy guy.
Oh, I know you're a busy guy.
I had to make sure I barely made it, but I made it.
Yeah, and the timing is phenomenal. We have night one of the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
What are your expectations for the team this year?
Oh, I think we're going to be good. I think we got a good team. As long as we stay healthy, I think we can go deep. I think this is the year for us, and we keep Ja and Jaren on the court at the same time, and I think we can beat anybody.
Well,
at that point,
I think that's the main point. You want my job?
Nah, you got.
I don't know if I want to switch jobs.
You do it very well. Nah, but I mean, I think that is the key. That's the formula. Is keeping both of them playing. I think GG's coming along. I think we're gonna see him rise. Jalen is like my favorite player.
Yeah.
Jalen Wells. I think he's a dog. He has that heart that I think we need to really push us to the next level.
Yeah, we like defense in this.
Yeah.
You're gonna be at the game tonight, I take it?
I will go. I am definitely going to the game. Gonna make sure we pick up the fam and take the whole family.
All right, now I know you're sort of limited on what exactly you can say about it, right? But this is we have opening night, and I think, you know, a lot of my listening audience wants assurances and sort of understanding on how we get 25-30 more opening nights with that long-term lease.
We definitely want 25 more, and I can tell all of the listeners that we're working very, very hard to get a new lease, and we're having great conversations with the Grizz. I mean, obviously, we haven't signed on the dotted line yet, but
right.
I have all confidence that we'll get there. All parties working in good faith, and, you know, we're moving forward with designs and things of that nature for the renovations of the stadium. So I definitely feel like we're going to get there.
Yep. Now, listen, the Grizzlies seem to want what we all want,
yeah,
right? Assurances about the entertainment and the safety of downtown, of Beal, of the FedEx Forum. And something I think we have wondered about for a while, at least in these seats and a lot of the city of Memphis Grizzlies fans, is what are the potential benchmarks that have been discussed behind the scenes that need to be met to ultimately get pen to paper, right? Because that's something that I think people are a little bit confused about at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we have the specific benchmarks outlined yet. Those are things that we talk about, like what are the indicators of success that we want to see for our community. But we're all working towards it. And I think the things that the Grizzlies want are the things that we want. We want a vibrant downtown. We want a safe downtown. And so we've been working towards those things. And thankfully, we're making good progress. The numbers with regards to safety across the city have been trending in the right direction. 13% reduction overall last year, 19% reduction in violent crime last year, 29% reduction in homicides last year, 37% reduction in motor vehicle thefts last year. And if you look at 2025, we're on pace to do better than that.
Right.
And so I feel really good about where we're headed. And I know it, people are anxious to get there, but I think we're definitely moving in the right direction on with regards to public safety.
Now, it's been an interesting topic. It's polarizing. It's just how it is, right? Obviously, just the topic in general, but the National Guard is in town, Memphis Safe Task Force. And, you know, what are your thoughts and feelings about their presence in the city, in downtown? I saw, you know, a bunch of National Guard members down there for the Ballin' on Beale.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been reported on by my good friend Jeff Calkins, who does the morning show over here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what are your sort of feelings about what downtown looks like with that National Guard presence at this
point? Well, you know, when it happened, I made my feelings clear. Like, this is not the way that I believe we should move towards public safety. However, it was going to happen. The governor and the president made a decision. And so my goal as mayor is to make sure that we lead through this moment and we work with the National Guard to determine what it's going to look like. And thankfully, they have someone who is over the Tennessee National Guard, their Major General. Warner Ross is a guy from Bolivar, Tennessee. I've had a lot of conversations with him. Real cool dude. We talked about how they show up. Like, we don't necessarily want you coming in tanks and invoking the images that we saw in 1968. And he's like, cool, we'll show up in vans. We asked him not to come with the big guns and walking around with those because it's very intimidating and giving a military feel. So now they have sidearms. We asked them, can they help us with event traffic and things of that nature? And they've been very accommodating. And their role is not like I thought on the front end. I thought that they were coming and doing more law enforcement, but what they are here doing is really being support to law enforcement. So their presence actually frees up our officers to do more law enforcement work. And so I think some of the concerns that I had and many others have had about their presence, I think have been offset by their willingness to partner with us. And that comes directly from me being in the room and being able to have those conversations with them.
So you've heard good things from the police force that's already down there in downtown doing what they need to do, doing their rounds. You've heard positive things from them about the National Guard's presence, or how have those conversations?
Yeah, definitely. They've talked about how they have, because our office, we have an officer with each group of National Guardsmen. So because those folks aren't from Memphis, so you have someone from the Memphis Police Department that's with them and able to show them around and tell them where things are. So that has been good. And then the other part of the Memphis Safe Task Force that a lot of people had not really thought about, including myself, was all of the other resources that come along with it. There's 13 federal agencies that are here and over 500 federal agents. And so those are the ones that have been partnered with Tennessee Highway Patrol, and we've seen a lot of traffic stops. One of the things that we've been working to do is get them to do less traffic stops and more focus on the violent crime. And I know you can capture some through traffic stops, but we want help with our homicides, with our multi-agency gang unit, with organized crime, with our fugitive task force. And so they are becoming more embedded with those initiatives, which I think is really going to help us target the individuals that truly are terrorizing our neighborhoods and our communities.
Yeah, being able to focus on the main thing.
You're getting the ones who really are responsible for violent crime in our city.
All right, now the University of Memphis and the importance to the city can't be overstated.
Absolutely.
And, obviously my alma mater, so I have to get some questions
too. I went to grad school of U of M.
Absolutely.
So.
Now,
go Tigers.
Curious about Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. University of Memphis took over Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium pretty recently. How do you feel about the U of M having their hands on the stadium? And if I remember correctly, this was not a unanimous, unquestioned decision by any stretch of the imagination. So how do you feel?
Yeah, I feel very good about it. University of Memphis has been a good partner. I talked to AD Ed Scott, man, on a very, very regular basis. He's a great dude, a great addition to the university. And we've had a great partnership. They've been making the renovations to the stadium. It's moving forward relatively quickly. I think they'll be done by the beginning of next season or so, somewhere along that timeline. So it's great. We're going to have an upgraded stadium. We've been able to bring private capital to help do it, as well as dollars from the state. and the University of Memphis has made that possible. So that transfer allowed us to do something that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
Yeah, and there's been growth from sports, obviously, but the university in general in the past decade.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I first got on campus, looking at the growth, just, you know, apartment building, student housing around the university, it's absolutely insane. They now have, I mean, I had to, you know, risk my life crossing the train tracks.
Yes.
But now we have a bridge going over, so that's nice to see all the development over there. But, you know, I think all of this goes into, at least on the sports side, the continued effort to get sports in this athletic department into a better conference. What do you think about where the University of Memphis is placed and if that will happen at all?
I root for them to be able to get into a stronger conference, but I think that the University of Memphis has made the best of being in the conference that they're in. I mean, they are circled on everybody's schedule in football and basketball and all the other sports as well. And so I think the University of Memphis has done an outstanding job, and sports is an economic development tool. It's a means for us as a city to be able to bring more people into our community. And when you bring people into the city, those are dollars. Those are restaurateurs. They help our restaurants, our hotels, and we want more of that. And so we want to continue to support the U of M, and we want them to be successful.
Now, there are plans for updates at AutoZone Park to ensure the Redbirds stay long term. Yeah. What can you tell me about AutoZone Park and the Redbirds' future in Memphis?
Yeah, I can say that we have a team that's working with the Redbirds to really outline and catalog exactly what renovations need to take place in the stadium to make sure that we keep it up to Major League Baseball standards. And we want to make sure that we're doing that efficiently, and I think that we will be able to do it. And we're going to use our capital funds from the city to be able to do it. We got to program it year by year, so it won't be one big expenditure of dollars. But over time, we want to make sure that we're continuing to invest in it to get it up to where it needs to be.
All right, now last thing for Mayor Paul Young right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Stephen A. Smith, we know about what happened earlier this offseason.
Yeah.
I spent a week on the show trying to cut through the nonsense, what he had to say. I mean, I think that, what people view from the outside becomes their reality.
Right.
But when you step in the city of Memphis and you feel the love and you feel the pageantry around the city of Memphis and how much pride people take in being from Memphis, it's a totally different conversation. And, you know, that's sort of the take,
the gist of the take.
Exactly. But you did reach out to him via social media to see if he wants to make it to the city of Memphis.
I respect Stephen A. I mean, he's done well in his industry, but I just thought it was out of bounds to talk about a city that you really haven't spent a lot of time in. And Memphis is an amazing place with amazing people. And I think that it's important that he understands the power of his words on our market.
Yeah.
And we definitely extended the invitation. I know that our teams have talked. We don't have any dates scheduled for him to be here, but I'm sure that he'll come for a game or come in town for something, and we'll get to have that conversation. But definitely looking forward to the dialogue, because we got to defend Memphis at all costs. And I want him to come and leave here a believer, leave here advocating for the city instead of talking down on our city.
Yeah. You know, I think too many people in this day and age, whether it's here, whether it's out in the state of California or whatever it is, if you haven't been there, I feel like you need to calm down all of the words and the talk and the conversations you have about this place, because it's not near as bad as you try to paint it.
It's not as bad. And once he comes, you know, I think he'll leave an ambassador. I think he'll be talking about the good of Memphis, and we need more people out there pushing what's right about our city.
Yep, 100%. Well, Mayor Young, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. This was fun.
Have fun at the Grizzlies game.
I will. Sir. Look forward to coming back.
Yes, sir. He is the 65th mayor of Memphis. Mayor Paul A. Young on X at Mayor Paul Young. If you need to go follow him on X, the Everything app. But let's go ahead and grab a break. We'll be back with more of the Gabe Kuhn Show next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow, it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.